Then but now, of course, we're talking about. I've been now, by the time I got to New Zealand, I've been on the. When I left New Zealand, I've been away 7 years then.
Yeah.
And of
Was the
course,
New
it.
Zealand you planned your Tierra del Fuego to Alaska tour, was it?
Yes, well,
Yeah,
that
and
was
then
the
you got
thing.
together with
Yes, I dismissed the idea of going
yeah.
back to Asia
Yeah.
anymore and Middle East because
Yeah.
of my Air Force services. And I knew that at that stage nobody had actually got through the diary and gap. I knew that because I'd written to the National
Yeah.
Geographic.
Yeah.
They sent me the article of the failure of some vehicle attempt. And so the idea was formed, well,
Yeah.
let's have a go at it with no real hope of success. But because I was the warden of a New Zealand youth hostel, lots of people were going through, and I got to be well known amongst the hostel movement because I was one of the few that had actually ridden quite a lot to get there. And they began to know that I had this other idea in mind and to go from Cape Horn to Alaska. And I was approached by John and Gary independently. Could they join me? And luckily for me, they came and they were very, very strong young men, both of them farm workers. Gary was nearly New Zealand's welterweight champion. He missed apparently by half a point or something, although at one stage he nearly collected the amateur title. He wasn't a very large man, but he was extremely strong. And John, he was a huge, great hunk of a fellow, and in due course, their strength was going to really count. So of course, we sailed off eventually, for Cape Horn, and we got off the boat at Punta Arena. I think you know the rest, don't you? But when we did get to the Dying Gap, as I mentioned, we got through really by a lot of luck. But then they both quit, which didn't help the way I felt. I could have killed at the time.
I haven't read the whole of that bit, but I just got to the point where you got to the island in the middle, the village
Oh, Traversia.
where you met
That's right,
Colonel
yes.
Bashford Snell.
Yes.
And your friends were still with you at that point, were
Oh,
they?
yes, because
And
we still had about
then you had
200
a
miles to
and then
walk at
you
that stage.
yeah, that was just the first small part of it. And then you had the next part to do.
Well, I mean, where we met the British Army, we'd reached that little island in the middle, and in a way, the river divided us between the swamp and the hills. The swamp on the Colombian side, the Atrato Swamp, and the hills running out to the Panamanian border on the other side. So once we got across the river, we hit slightly better terrain. In fact, it was hillier. It was very, very hard. There was a series of ridges that we had to cross. But at least we weren't getting our feet wet like we were in the swamp. And we were in a dreadful state when we got out of the swamp.
So gather,
And if you'd ever seen the occasional films, you see of people in the final stages of breaking up, after aeroplane crashes and things. Well, we certainly looked like any air crash victims. I mean, our trousers, because we wore long trousers, were split down both seams, just holding on around the middle. Our boots, they were proper jungle boots, but they were only being held on by the insoles, by the centre part of the shoe. The heels were flapping out, and the toes were. Our shirts were lacerated. I had a nest of carbuncles on my back through the rucksack rubbing. John had fallen on his machete, cut his hand quite badly.
You would
And
have been
Gary
hurt,
ended up
wouldn't you?
by, yes, I managed to slice my shin open, and I thought I was a goner because the original idea of there being three of us in there would be that in the event of something awful happening, the other two could help to get him out. But in reality, there was no way that we could have lifted anybody out. And so at that stage, I was no longer of any use to John and Gary. They carried on cutting the track, and I just limped along in the rear. And I was lucky to see them again.
And Colonel Bashford Snell, Do you ever have anything to do with him now?
I've never seen him since. But what I will do there is I've got a page, a photostat copy of a page that appeared in the book written about their expedition by Russell Braddon. And they devoted a page and a half to their meeting us in the swamp.
Right.
And what of course, isn't known at all outside, because no one cares either, but what people don't know, and Blashford Snell completely admits, is the fact that in the words of the young doctor on the expedition, they cheated his expedition, because they sailed around the swamp.
So they didn't really go through it, they came around the sides of it.
Yeah, they sailed around too, towing their vehicles or using rivers. It's actually in the book that they we didn't know, but when we got to their base camp, because they were going one way and we were going the other, so we finally managed to get to their base camp.
Yeah, but they come in the opposite way.
That's right, And the young doctor apparently told, they had a big argument that night, the young doctor told them all, it makes us feel like cheats. Here's these youngsters, as we then were emerging out of the jungle, having spent 26 days in this swamp.
And travelling under
sleeping in the trees and hanging their bites and the branches. Yeah. And we're not even going to attempt to go through this swamp. See, we're going to go around it.
Were they going from Alaska to...
They were going the opposite way.
The easy way in vehicles.
Well, it wasn't easy. Engineering feet. But our biggest quarrel was the fact that we made it completely. No one was going to be interested in our vehicles.
And you had tons of taxpayers' money to do
We did have $600.
But it also shows what's possible by pure human effort instead of cars and boats and engines and things.
Now, Frenchmen, incidentally, it's the first opportunity I've ever had to do something about this. Maybe we'll put this right. I've got his book somewhere. Frenchman did quite a good tour around the world. I can't remember his name offhand. But he writes about my own efforts in the Darling Gap. And in his opinion, it's generally accepted that I deliberately chose this difficult journey. Other ways of doing it. And he gets my name wrong to start with. And I mention in his book on a couple of occasions when he talks about this. The fact was that the whole idea was that we followed the direct route as laid down by the projected highway. We followed it. Now, any other way, and there are other ways, merely means that you don't go through the swamp at all. You go all the way up to the northern coast, a place called Turbo. You get a boat all the way down the Rio Atrato, down to the island of Traversia, which is where we emerge out of the swamp. And this is not a direct way, this is a huge great triangle. I mean, you're using two sides of a triangle to get back
to the same point.
And at that point, anyone that wants to go through, that's what they do. They go up to Turbo, or the other way around. You know, they go up to Turbo, get a boat down to this point, and then it's quite easy to walk up from the river over into Panuai. Anything is that quite easy. This Frenchman had a description of his own attempts to get up from the river, because this is what he did. He made an attempt to get up from the river, following our route up and over into Panama. He failed, and he took a bunch of porters that he paid. He failed to do it. It's all in his own book, And he's busily telling everyone that, I deliberately chose, this just as an obstacle, to pick myself. Ridiculous. It happened to be there, and it was in the way, but it was the reason we were doing the direct route. Because we did think at the time that one day they would make some kind of a highway through, and that would obviously be the route that they followed. But the other thing there that I generally like to emphasize is that others have gone through, but all of them have not been as fussy as we were. They normally use the river system that the Indians themselves use. Now, we only used the rivers just to cross from bank to bank, and then we even went ridiculously to the point that we cut our way along the riverbank to the track. Because 17 times, when we wanted lifts across the river from one village across the river, they get us in the boat and they take us a mile or two down the river to where the track would begin.
Yeah.
Yes, and we wouldn't let them do this, you know, and they got very exasperated with us. And in fact, it was extremely difficult sometimes to find an Indian who had the knowledge of how to get from his village to the next overland.
Yeah.
You know, because they all used the river systems.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's why we all made a big point of this. I suppose why it's important to us is because we try so very, very hard to do it. And, the cost was really awful. I mean, we were in a real sad state when we got through there. Mm. So for it to all be dismissed, by other people,
When you get to traverse here, that's the most difficult bit done, isn't it, really?
Yes,
if you get that far, you can revitalise yourself more or less, be certain of getting on from there.
Well, you've reached civilisation in this respect, but there is an estancia a little bit further up the river, and we stayed there for a while, fattening ourselves up a bit.
Yeah.
And then we returned again to the island.
Mm.
And then got the natives to take us from the island again, directly across to the bank.
Mm.
And John had hurt himself. What had John done? John couldn't join us. He had to stay on the island. And meanwhile, Gary and I cut a route along the riverbank and rigged up bridges over the various rivers that were running down, the streams that were running down. And eventually we managed to reach the base camp that the army had abandoned, because there is a hut there. I mean, they didn't make the hut was always there, but that's where they made their base camp. I mean, when we first arrived in Traverse here, we spent about 3 days doing nothing else but eating. Yeah. Maybe 5 minutes to you can't eat very much, but you're always hungry. That's the trouble. You eat and another half an hour, you've got this awful hunger again. Mm. And our legs, they'd been wet, for 26 days, always immersed.
Yeah.
And we all had a bad case of immersion, what do they call them, immersion foot, or trench foot as they used to call it. But that's not just affecting the feet, it's great big red blotches all over the limbs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course I had these carbuncles that were troubling me, plus the cut. That wouldn't heal, but we were lucky when we did get going again. The first little village we reached inside Panama was a little village called Paya, and there was a Canadian nurse with a South African linguist that were there studying the language of the Kuna Indians. And of course, we didn't know anything about them until we arrived there.
Mm.
And then we found out that they were there. And luckily for me, of course, being a nurse, she had certain medication. And Gary was eventually given the task of injecting me penicillin for the next couple of weeks, which was he was used to darting sheep, back in New Zealand. And now he had his chance to have a go at me. And oh, Struth, those poor sheep. It really hurt me, but I mean it was a miracle really that we met these people, because they gave me the chance too. They were flying out, they had a little airstrip, they were flying out going to Panama, and they insisted that I should really go with them, but I couldn't, and so I stayed on to walk out.
Yeah.
And miraculously the wound healed, and I ended up stronger than when I'd...
And you started?
Of course, we had 3 months in Panama again to recover.
Yeah.
We got work. We we were cutting semi-precious stones there.
Well, grinding the faces on them.
Yes. Yeah. Well, cutting them from the sheer rock.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And then shaping them.
Yeah.
Mm. And during this period, I was writing about the Dying Gap in detail. Mm. I was the script of the outfit. Yeah, I left that job when the fellow was running out of money to pay us.
Yeah.
I spent about 2 weeks as the guest of the ambassador, in that he allowed me to use his study.
Mm.
And what I didn't understand was that he intended to feed me too, so it was great. I'd sit there quite early in the morning
yeah.
and study there, and round about coffee time, knock on the door, and in would come the waiter.
Is this the British ambassador?
Yes,
yeah.
and
yeah.
With coffee in the best traditional silver.
Mm.
And then I thought, this is it. Rather nice.
Quite a change from the slump.
Very much so. And then there, come lunchtime, I'm thinking it's time I went out for lunch, knock on the door,
yeah.
and in would come the waiter again.
Mm.
Beautiful meal! And
yeah.
God, well, I couldn't get over all this, you know. But the, I mean, fortunately for me, I mean, the writing was complete. Yeah, because if it hadn't been complete, I don't know what would have happened. But it was then that Gary announced that he was going to carry on working for the Salvation Army Major.
Yeah.
But Gary is now a Baptist priest.
Yeah.